listening to the Brand Alchemy Podcast with your hosts, Jared Asher and Jared Brake, where we uncover the stories and truths of real entrepreneurs and their journeys of growth and brand transformation. For more information, go to www.timelesscreative.com.au.
Hi guys, how are you going? Welcome back to the Brand Alchemy Podcast, where we uncover the truth and stories of entrepreneurs who've transformed their own visions into reality. I'm Jared Asher Herring, the host of Brand Alchemy Podcast, joined by my friend and co-host, Jared Brake.
Hey everyone, Jared here. Thanks again for joining us for another episode of the Brand Alchemy Podcast.
Rightio, let's get into it. We've got a very special guest here today, a good friend of ours we've known for a long time by the name of Brett Smith. He goes by the title, The Conscious Hooligan. He is a unique coach in the market, Sunny Coast legend, got a strong history in business, in the trades and trades sector, also property development sector. But he's gone into this coaching realm as The Conscious Hooligan and specializes in sporting with his sporting background and the trades industry with a strong focus on mindset, leadership, self-awareness and connection. Brett, how are you, buddy?
Good, Jared. Thanks for having me, guys. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, great to have you here, mate. It's been long overdue. We've known each other for quite some time, actually, haven't we, Brett? It's been a journey. We've known, I think, back in 2018, we've done some work together back then. It's really good to have you here and be able to, I guess, unpack your story. You've got a lengthy background in so many different facets, and for the audience that are listening, I'm very, very excited to hear what you got to share today. So thanks for joining us, brother.
Mate, thanks for having me. Both of you guys, both of you, Jared, it's a pleasure. That's right. We've sort of known each other for a long time through Timeless, through some marketing with you guys. And, yeah, I noted, it's memory camp there about 6 years ago, so that would be about right, wouldn't it?
That right, mate. Long time. So for the listeners that are here today and for your audience for that matter, I'm sure you've got a really good story to share with us. But I'm interested to hear it from the ground up. Tell us your background, your story. What brought you here today?
Okay, so you mean the background from the beginning, or what are we doing?
Yeah, from the day that you were born.
Okay. All right, Jared. Jared Brake might have to wrap us up pretty quick because we get carried away. We know he's going to be the one to do it. But no, I was born and bred in the Sutherland Shire, down in Sydney. And, you know, I had a blue-collar working-class background with, you know, working-class family, and I was heavily into football and things like that, boxing. As a kid, I travelled pretty extensively throughout the early 2000s. I ended up on the Sunshine Coast here at the end of 2005. I flew into Sydney. I spent 2 weeks in Cronulla, right amongst the Cronulla Rights, and I was like, and mum and dad had already moved to the Sunshine Coast, so I was like, I've got to get out of here. And come to the Sunshine Coast December 2005 and have never looked back. Got a pretty broad and rocky sort of history as a adolescent and sort of early adult years in and around, I guess, addiction and substance abuse. It's not something I brag about these days, but it's definitely a big part of my story. So end of 2005, I come back to Australia, and by about 2006, I was in a pretty dark place personally, and I flipped the coin, and I had two choices. The heads or tails was rehab for substance and alcohol abuse or something else, and that something else was a boxing gym. Went back to boxing at 26 and had a really late run but a really good string of success as a professional boxer. Went on to win everything, you know, from state and Australian titles as a professional to, WBA and IBF regional belts as a boxer, and a WBU and a WBF world title as professional. So I was pretty blessed to have a late run but a good run at professional boxing. It actually taught me a lot about business, as did growing up on the streets of Sydney. I won't go too deep into that, but I definitely learned my entrepreneurial skills there very early on the streets of Sydney in the late 90s, and then the boxing, if that was my cert three in business, my cert four was professional boxing in Australia in the, you know, the mid to, 2010 to 2015. So, yeah, that sort of got me through about 34, 35 years old, and I got to a point where I said to myself, like, I can do this better, I'm better at this, and anyone that knows me knows that I try and lead by example or do things that I say I'm going to do, and I kept getting sick of saying I could do it better myself, so I rolled the dice and I left a very good paying electrical job, you know, with three kids under three mortgages, and rolled the dice, and we opened BWS Electrical, no guarantees and no promises, but just a lot of grit, drive and ambition and a willingness to do whatever it takes. And fast forward 9 years, mate, and we're sort of still going very, very strong, 15-odd staff, and I think, yeah, I'm not going to state what we'll have by mid-year, but we're up for our biggest year yet. And it's exciting times in the construction industry for BWS Electrical and all the other companies that have been created by me since then have been a reflection of that. I mean, my electrical business was purely based off my professional boxing experience and realising if I put bums on seats, I'd get more opportunities. If I put more bums on seats, I'd get more opportunities, and that's sort of how it unrolled. And when I opened the business with no, you know, I left school at 15, so I didn't have a business background or anything like that. I just knew that I had to put bums on seats in an electrical perspective. So that meant finding clients, doing a good job, making them come back to watch you more or give you more work. And that's what we did. And that's what we continue to do on a much bigger scale now. But, you know, from that stemmed the BWTMS project, which is my development arm or my development company. And about 5 years ago, I launched the Conscious Hooligan in an attempt to give back to what feels like a very blessed and I'm very grateful for the life I live. And I wanted to give back to what was the focus of men, which is now transferred into all people. But I wanted to give back to men that thought that they could only ever achieve one thing or do one thing or that it was impossible or it only happened to the lucky ones. And I think I'm a testament that that is completely false, and I come from nothing. I come from a blue-collar working-class family, and I have created quite a reasonable amount of success, and I want to pull back the curtains on that and show them that by thinking different, by acting different, by being different, you get a different outcome. So that's the brand, and that's my story in a nutshell to date, I guess.
Love it, mate. I love it. You've got a very interesting story, and I really love the idea of, you know, well, what you've said over that journey of time, a long period of time, you know, where you've come from and the fact that you've sort of come from essentially, you know, the true success story of coming from essentially nothing and being able to achieve what you've been able to achieve. I mean, as I said, Jared and I have known you when you were essentially only a few years into launching BWS, and through the last, you know, 9 years or so since we've known each other, you've really, really, it's been a bit less than that, obviously, but you've really, I've seen you launch new businesses like the property development, the coaching area, and you just seem to be going from strength to strength, and it's just obviously a testament to where you've come from. And I guess the question I have for you is what would be the thing that has been the pivotal moment that you're like, right, this is how I want to be, this is how I want my life to be? Like, what was the thing that sort of was the catalyst that made you think like that or feel like that?
That's a great question. And obviously with my broad kind of background, it's not a one-word answer. But I said to myself, when I come out of a rehab and detox facility at 19 years old, that I would semi-retire at 40 years old. I'm not going to go into where I'm at in my journey because, you know what I mean, I don't need to brag, I don't need to talk about that to show success or resilience. It's not my style. But what I want to make a highlight of, at that point in time, I set a really clear intention. Mm. And for me, intention is a massive thing. But what follows from intention is having the mindset and the capacity to see things through, which requires resilience, which requires focus, which requires determination, discipline, all the things. And throughout my journey, every time it's got really tough, I've always had my mindset to lean on and support me. And I realise not everyone was born with that innate ability to just dig in. You know, like when things get tough, that's when I thrive. And not everyone's born with that, but I do teach an amazing set of skills that help people at least evolve and strengthen where they're at. And because everyone talks about what does a mindset coach do? Well, it helps you think different and for a better outcome. And people play that down, but what are you without a strong mindset? Look at anybody with any kind of success, any kind of success habits, any kind of brilliance in them, and their mindset is one of their biggest and strongest parts. So I don't know if I really answered that, but I think intention and, you know, there's a number of experiences that have helped forge me and my success. But I really feel having a real clear goal, intention, timeline, all the things that help create your reality, because we need to realize that the universe will provide for us what we put out into that universe. And that's not getting weird or wonderful or manifesting your little tits off per se, but it's real. These things are real, and I'm a testament of believing in myself and believing in what I know inside my heart to be truth, even if it's not textbook scriptures and textbook education. Well, these days I think with you know, neuroscience and the likes of Dr. Joe, like there's a lot of neuroscience back data to support a lot of what I coach now than it used to be. But I think yeah, did I answer your question? Because I am starting.
You did, mate. No, you did. It's basically, in summary, from what I'm hearing, just so the audience can digest the answer and process that, I would say from what I'm hearing, it would be that a sum total of the experiences that you've been through have really shifted your mindset to create something within you to propel you to where you want to go with intention. And that intention is really the thing that has created the current reality for you and where you're going and what you want out of life for you and your family. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, 100%. And I just think in those really tough times of life, if you don't know how to dig deep, like how to really dig your heels in and just say to yourself, I'm going to get through this no matter what, I'm going to succeed. If you don't know how to do that, you need to find a way. You need to find a way, because those are the times you ask any successful person, the things that made them are the toughest times. They're the ones that are going to make or break you. You know, success is easy at the top. It's in those trenches moments that shows your true colours and whether you're going to make it, you know.
Well, that's right.
True. Yeah, like you mentioned about being in those dark places, obviously with the addiction and substance abuse, you would have gone there, but also in the being in the boxing ring, you would have had to be in places which were really dark. I'm wondering, what would you say to people that were listening that are in business that are maybe stuck? You mentioned about going to dig deep, but you also mentioned that some people don't have the mindset, don't have that. Where do people start to implement that and find that if they think they don't have that?
Great question, Jared. It's, and I don't want to say this as a coach, but do we swear on this? I'm not going to swear. Do get a coach. I mean, every part of my life that I've had, well, that's except business, to be totally honest. I've only invested this year in business coaching after 9 years in business, which is ridiculous. But I've read 1,000 books. I've read every book under the sun coming through, and I went to every live event and every day event I could find. You know, may he rest in peace. I remember seeing Kerwin early on, like 10 years ago, probably before I started the electrical business. You know, I was hunting down live events and day events and weekend, all the things about business. But my whole life, when I wanted to be good at rugby league, I had a footy coach. When I wanted to be good at boxing, I had a boxing coach. When I wanted to be good at anything in my life, when I wanted to dive deep into spirituality, I hired the best coach in that space. Every time I've wanted to level up, every time I've wanted to be better than I'm at, I've got someone who's better than me at it, and I've hired them, and I've got them to teach me what they know, and I've become better. So the short story is find someone who's better at what you want to be good at, and find a way to work with them. It doesn't have to be a coach. I never had any business coaching. I had great mentors, my old boxing manager, a very successful businessman. And although he's never been in construction or trades-based, he has a fantastic business mind, and he's still like a long-term friend and mentor today. But I bounced ideas off him. I surrounded myself with people who I wanted to be like. I matched and mirrored people that I wanted to reflect like. I wanted to be successful. I wanted to be a businessman. So I started surrounding myself with people that were going to help me level up. The old story that you are the five people you spend your most time with. Don't play that down. It's not real. It's not saying go and eliminate all your friends because they're not doing what you want to do, but it is realizing that when you start circling with those you want to be like, you start to match a mirror and you start to reflect, the universe starts to match you as well. So I think it's important to be around the people that can help elevate you and take your consciousness to a level that is going to get you where you want to be.
I love that, mate. I really love that. And what you just said then is so very, very true. I mean, believe it or not, Jared and I talk about this quite a bit, but I also talk about it with my partner and other people in my circle of influence, and even raising children in the same way. It's always, you know, you're the sum total of the people you hang out with. And you just said it there. And I fully believe that too, Brett. It's a reality that if you want to become greater than your current reality, you need to surround yourself with people that have already been there and done it, or at least ahead of the journey, and so you can learn more from them, because that's what motivates you and inspires you to grow, to be bigger and, I don't use the word better, but advanced in what you do or how you want to get to the end outcome. Interesting you say that, because I have these conversations quite a bit with various people. So yeah, it's interesting, mate. What have you found in regards to, you know, all the things that you're currently doing? Of course, you've got your BWS business, which is the core business. Then you've got a property development arm. You've got the coaching. How have you find, how, and you've got a family as well for that matter. How do you try to balance all of that? Like, how do you keep that all in check?
It's quite selfish that I run group programs for men, teaching them all these things, and then I charge them money for that, because what it does is what I teach, it's the core things that made me succeed. So whether it's chasing goals, whether it's the way you communicate with yourself, whether it's connection to yourself, whether it's all these things, I teach them, and what it does is every 12-week program, I'm doing it with them week in and week out, and it keeps me accountable, it keeps me true to myself, and it allows me to continue to do and have so many balls in the air. Now, obviously, being diagnosed with ADHD, into my 40s, that is obviously a massive asset and a big help to having so many juggling balls in the air. And I went and got diagnosed, you might say, and I'm not a big fan of diagnosis. I actually did it because I thought it would be a good way to to relate to other people and clients and explain to them, listen, this is not a deficit, and you can have all the labels under the sun, but at the end of the day, you are what you want to be. And this, I'm a reflection of that. And my parents were like, you had to go and see a doctor for that? We could have told you that. We could have told you that when you were 6 years old, you know. So that, the juggling all the balls, yeah, it's not, and it is not for everyone, and that's okay. But for me, my balance comes, the reason I launched into business was to be more present and more available for my family, and that is what I am. So all the businesses, all the stuff, it all comes second. You know, I rarely miss a sporting event or any of the school stuff, or, you know, I'm often going to the, as a student helper, to the excursions. You know, I coach one daughter in netball. It's our third season in a row. Coach with my wife, so that keeps us connected as well. You know, I spent 4 years becoming a black belt in Taekwondo with my eldest daughter. So we started that when she was six, and she became a black belt when she was still 10 years old. And these are all my ways of committing and staying true to myself as the person I want to be as a father, first and foremost. So by making myself commit to certain things, it keeps me accountable and allows me to be present the way I want to be. Of course, routine, structure, systems all come into a big part of what I coach, because they work, because I'm tried and tested. So, yeah, of course, a routine, a really rock-solid routine, and consistency for this scattered ADHD mind is really important, because I can go down rabbit holes for days and weeks at a time and come out and go, shit, here we are again. Well, what was I doing? So, yeah, I think it's really important to have a good routine in order to be stable enough to tick all those boxes.
Amazing. I'm going to throw something completely left field here. It might be flipped on its back, so to speak. But the question I have for you is, share with us or the audience listening something in your life or an experience or something, anything for that matter, where it seemed like everything was going completely wrong for you and somehow it turned out to be right for you. I'm not sure if you understand what that means, but something that you believe to potentially be going in that moment, oh, this is going pear-shaped, but then all of a sudden something happened. What did you learn through that process? Something great came out of it, like an aha moment. It could be anything like that.
Okay. Yep. I've got lots, but I'm going to use a business example because it's relatively current. I've got dive accident. I've got a range of things that have happened in this life that have made me who I am, but let's use business as an example. In 2016, 2017, we started, or 2016, I think I started BWS Lab School. I think we, you know, like I said, I'm not a big person to talk about money. That doesn't really reflect much to me, but let's just use the dollars as an example. I think we turned over $500,000 in our first year, which was a big year for a one-man band. For us, we thought it was huge. We did well. We put food on the table. I was paying my mortgages, which was a great outcome, and we've taken a big leap of faith. So our first financial year, we turned over, say, $500,000. The years that followed, we turned over $2 million, like the following 2 years. So that's a big growth space, right? And not only did we grow rapidly, but we grew in very different parts of the state. So we had, I think, 4 to 6 staff operating from a backyard of our first family home on the Sunshine Coast. And we took on a massive project on Hamilton Island after Cyclone Debbie. So we ended up doing a restoration and rebuild of 60-plus units. So I had two crews. I had a crew on the Sunshine Coast, and I had 4 or 6 or 7, or I think we had almost 10 staff at any given time on Hamilton Island. And at the end of, I think it was end of 2017, I had a foreman and a supervisor running the project up on Hamilton Island, and I'd visit every 2 weeks, just for 2 or 3 days, because I was running a similar amount of a crew on the Sunshine Coast. On the last day of the working year, I think of 2017, December 2017, those two guys quit, and with no notice. I mean, it was the end of the year, so you know, officially their notice was chewed up by public holidays and days. And anyway, they made it very clear they weren't coming back for January. And I had 60 different apartments at different stages, very different stages, some getting completely rebuilt, some minor rectifications. I had no real handle on where it was at, each project, because I had a supervisor and a foreman. And it was like the world had turned upside down, had turned on me, and I had no answer. I had to fly up there for the first week of the year, which is also cyclone season and heavy weather season up North Queensland. So not the most ideal time to be trying to get your head around project. And I was literally on the verge of a breakdown. I probably did have one at some level. And I'd learnt actually from a great friend of ours, Jason Reynolds. He was my first ever coach as a personal coach. And I'd learned some deep self-connection processes and how to really drop in and tap into me, who I really was, the fabric of myself. And I was forced to lean on myself because no one was coming to save me. And I just, if I didn't have those tools at that given time, I'm sure I would have just crumbled, even though I did at some level anyway. I remember I pulled over in a golf cart on Hamilton Island, and I said to myself, is this what it feels like to lose your mind, to actually go insane? And I sat there and I cried to myself and I thought, pull your shit together. You're better than this. You're stronger than this. You come from, my father's a third generation underground coal miner. We come from nothing. He lived in a social housing family igloo when their family home burnt down. We come from nothing. And I was like, you're better than this, and work will not break you. This is nothing. This is nothing compared to what you've been through in life. Pick your shit up, pull your pants up. It's time to put your big boy pants on and let's own this shit. And I did. And I pulled my pants up, my big boy pants, and I owned it. And you know what? I spent 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. Most people do a FIFO job. They fly in for 2 weeks. They work in a mine site where the work is pretty reduced compared to any other kind of real working atmosphere. I created staff. I employed 8 staff up there, managed and run by me for 10 to 12 days at a time. I'd then fly back. Meanwhile, overnight, I was living in a caravan on Early Beach. I would be programming and scheduling by hand, I might add, because we never had the beauty of service made in these different scheduling programs. I'd write them up by hand. I'd take screenshots. I'd send them to my staff from the Sunshine Coast. They'd be operating based on my remote directions from Early Beach. And then every 2 weeks I'd fly back. I'd spend 2 weeks in the trenches at home, making sure that was all operational, running, and invoices were done. Then I'd fly back. And I did this back to back to back for, I think, 6 months, 7 months. And we got a lid on the project. I got some good local staff, ended up taking on more and more responsibility and more trust in them. And you know what? We delivered. And I survived it, and I made bloody good money out of it. And I learned something about myself. And it doesn't matter who you are or what you throw at me, Jared, you're not going to break me. Nothing in this world can take from me myself, because at the core, I'm just me, and nothing is ever going to break that. It doesn't matter what it is. So that was a real moment of uncertainty, and literally I was in tears, and I had to pony up, man. I had to man up, and I had to show the world what I was made of, and the rest is history. That one project set us up for success in business in the BWS electrical space. And for better or worse, I've learned a lot of hard lessons since in business, and I think I brought those hard-assed methodologies back to the coast, and I led with an iron fist, and that's come back to haunt me. And I've learned more lessons, and I've gone back and I've restructured, and I've tried to be better, and I've lost good staff, and I've kept bad staff, and all the things that come. But at the end of the day, I realise that when the chips are down, there's only you, and it's up to you, man. You've got to stand up. You've got to get up off the canvas, and you've got to go one more round.
I love that, man. That's what an inspiring story that was.
Thanks. Yeah.
Really, really cool, man. Really cool. And I think, yeah you go, Jared.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you really shared the kind of the importance of the strength we can find in finding our balance and at our core. Like, that can never be destroyed, and, you know, remaining present with that. And you've been in, you know, numerous situations, you know, of darkness and found and in depth, where you've still been able to find something to keep going, just to take that extra step, and it's managed to get you, you know, where you are today. And I think, you know, someone with that level of understanding, you know, has so much to give to the world. So, you know, I think that's incredible.
Thank you, mate. Appreciate it.
Oh, mate, look, that's I have to look at the time here, and probably we could talk for hours, I'm sure.
We're good.
Legit. But, mate, it's been really, really good to have you here. And I just want to say thank you. It's been a very motivational and also very inspirational story to hear, and some really good insights and learnings too, Brett. So thanks for that, man. I've been looking forward to this call. So it's been awesome.
Yeah, me too, guys. And thank you for having me on, man. I really appreciate it. It's great to catch up before the ep started, because, you know, we haven't had the three of us on a call. It's been really good to catch up. And I just, yeah, I hope it gives some insights to people that are, particularly if they are struggling or they do feel like, you know, the world's crumbling or coming down. Like, man, there's always light. There is always light. There's always something to be grateful for. There's always a blessing in every challenge. And it's, yeah, man, like you said, we could talk all day, but, like, I understand we've got to wrap this up. So just thank you, guys.
Yeah, awesome. Well, to our listeners that are listening right now, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that are be interested to learn more about how you can help them and inspire them to achieve whatever it is that's going on in their life and what they want to accomplish for them and their families. And if that's so, where can they find you, Brett? Where can they get in touch with you, buddy?
Yeah, from the coaching space, it's very organic. I don't search hard to find good clients. So I've got to come and speak to you guys about a website, but I haven't even bothered with one at this stage. But you can find me on all the socials, The Conscious Hooligan on Instagram and Facebook. My personal Facebook profile is like a public one. It's Brett W. Smith. That's probably the best place to find me sort of quickly. And, yeah, I'd be happily explore what it means to be a better version of yourself. And, you know, yes, I coach executives and businessmen and tradies, but I also coach women in Switzerland and kids. And I'm here in that space, in my coaching space, to provide a level of support, but also accountability, because, you know, that's, I think, the biggest lost trait these days is people need. Often people in these times need accountability, and I love keeping people honest, and I love being very direct coach. I let you know if you've stuffed up, and I think that's important. Maybe it's the boxing background or the footy background or the tradie background, but call a spade a spade, and if that is the kind of person you need in your corner, I'd love to help.
Absolutely. So, guys, you've heard it directly from Brett there. He's got numerous ways to get in touch, but best way you can get in touch with him, I'll share the links with you after so you can see that. But Instagram is a good place, I think, and I'll just share the page you've got there, Brett, if that's cool with you. That's instagram.com/the_conscious_hooligan. That's instagram.com/the_conscious_hooligan. That's the best way to probably get in touch, or you can reach out to Brett personally on Brett W. Smith Facebook. So, guys, thank you for being here and listening into tuning into our interview with Brett today. It's been an insight, and I'm grateful for you to be here. And any final words from yourself, Jared?
No, I just want to thank Brett again. It's been a great conversation. And as we said, yeah, we could probably talk for hours on this. So maybe round two.
Fantastic. Yeah. mate. Thanks, Jared. And Jared, it's always enjoyable to chat, guys. So thank you.
Fantastic. And for the listeners that are out there that are in a position on a business level, let's say you're set at the very start, if you are stuck, you run a business and you need more sales, need more leads, need a website, need to look at your SEO strategy online, easy. You can get in touch with us. We offer no obligation consultations, free of charge. We can unpack that with you and at least guide you. And if you want to do that, you can do this via reaching out to us on www.timelesscreative.com.au/boardroom. That's www.timelesscreative.com.au/boardroom. Until then, guys, you've been listening to the Brand Alchemy Podcast with Jared and our special guest, Brett Smith. Thank you again, and we'll see you all very soon. Cheers.
You've been listening to the Brand Alchemy Podcast with your hosts, Jared Asher and Jared Brake. For more information or to request your spot as a guest speaker, go to www.timelesscreative.com.au.